Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. I'll tell you what, man. Look, I am bullish right now on the chances that we play college football this year. I'm really optimistic about it at this point. I have flipped, not because the virus flipped. You know, 3-4 weeks ago when I said I didn't think we'd be playing fall college football, and that prediction still might be right, by the way. But when I said that, I was thinking that we needed to curb the flow of the virus in order to be able to play. I wasn't thinking that there would be a way for us to play if we did not do everything needed to seriously, curb the flow of this thing, right? Flatten the curve, so to speak. But here we are, and all of the major leagues, or at least all of the major conferences, are at least moving forward with plans to play in 2020. And that is something we all can be excited about. Can they pull it off is another question entirely. Joining us to talk about that and a few different topics surrounding college football is Brad Crawford. Brad is a friend of the show and a senior writer for 24/7 Sports, and Brad Crawford joins us right now. Brad, how you doing, pal?
Hey, Mark, thanks for having me, man. Last time we talked, it was kind of a negative vibe with football, 2 months away, and now here we are about 4 weeks before we get things started with some group of five games. I'm excited, man.
Yeah, look, I'm really excited as well. So Brad, as we look at this thing, what are the chances, in your opinion, that college football can pull this off? You know, on this show, Brad, we've said that I see this working if students aren't on campus, or I see this working if students are on campus, but the football programs create their own bubble within the football facility, right? Players taking their courses, having all their meals inside of the facility. I don't see this working if the players are co-mingling with a 40,000-strong student body at any university. So with all of that said, Brad, what's the likelihood that this works, and how can this work?
Yeah, I think, you kind of referenced it, Mark, in your beginning there. You know, these city-by-city bubbles, if you speak within these college towns, they would certainly work if, we had summer months all season and these kids had nothing to do once students got back on campus. But it's going to be a lot to ask, these 18 to 22-year-olds to, stay at the facilities, stay in their dorm rooms and the apartments, when students are back. They want to have fun, too, and be college students, and it's just a lot to ask. I think the Power Five conferences, however, have done a good job of building in two to three open weeks. Obviously, we don't know when those weeks are because final schedules have not been announced yet, especially in the SEC and Big 12. But, there's going to be time, Mark, that if we see an outbreak at, say, a Clemson or a South Carolina, there's going to be a 1 or 2 week stretch where it's going to be okay. Those two conferences, the ACC and SEC, are going to be able to change the schedule enough with built-in open weeks that I don't think it'll be an issue. But as far as playing a full 10-game schedule and seeing a college football playoff champion at the end of this, I just want to get through September and with some games played first.
Yeah, I understand. I understand, Brad, and I really do as well, man. I'm just wondering how they're going to make this work. As we get closer to this, Brad, do you think there's going to be instruction? Private instruction for these football players from their professors, or are we It's just hard for me right now to see. I guess I'm surprised, Brad, that I'm not hearing more announcements of, hey, USC is going to be going to online only, or Clemson's going to be going to online only. And I'm thinking to myself, these guys can't, you know, Dabo Swinney and, you know, President Kaslin at South Carolina, they can't possibly be thinking we're going to have our football players in classes with a 40,000-person strong student body, and we're going to have no problems with the college football season. That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I hate to say this, but the academic side of the equation is what has been referenced the least during all this. You know, you hear from all of college football's powers at B, Mark, and all of them talk about, you know, how can we do this player safety first, financially, maybe get some fans in the stands and make sure these COVID tests are done weekly. And we've heard nothing about, you know, are we going to see professors in Zoom meetings, you know, teach these kids, you know, these classes. That's the least of these athletic department's worries right now, in my opinion. They're solely focused on how can we get a semi-full schedule in and crown a champion at the end. I think it's a very good question that, you know, the SEC and other Power Five and Group of Five leagues are really running out of time to figure out. I know the Ivy League was the first to cancel football and move to an online-only scenario. I think in the SEC, we're not going to see that. We're going to see students back on campus, if I had to guess.
Brad Crawford, senior writer for 24/7 Sports, joining us here on the show. Brad, what do you make of the Pac-12's We Are United campaign?
Well, if this is that player-only thing that you're referencing, we were told today that so the original report, I think, was in the Players Tribune. The analyst reported that hundreds of players were kind of bound together to maybe walk away from football if demands weren't met, you know, as far as long-term health insurance, social justice rally stuff like that. And we were told today that it's more like maybe two dozen players. I do think it'll get much bigger backing, however, if some of the Pac-12's bigger name players, you know, step to the spotlight. Penei Sewell, a top five pick at Oregon, you know, the starting offensive lineman there, he was one of the guys who on Sunday said he's behind it. I will say this, if there's any time for players, you know, for some of these universities and these decision makers to hear a player's plight, I mean, the time is now. We've seen a lot of change going on since, you know, mid-spring to now, Mark. And if a player has ever had a voice, it's right now. And I commend those guys for doing what they're doing.
I mean, I understand, Brad, and I want everybody to be treated fairly and equally and all of that stuff. But, Brad, to demand 50% of the profits makes me aware of the fact that these guys don't understand how college works. If the football players got 50% of the profits, then perhaps their girlfriend on the gymnastics team or all the other sports teams that they're friends with would cease to exist, right? The labor on their backs, and admittedly it is on their backs, pays for everything else within these athletic departments. They clearly, to me, Brad, don't understand the finances if they think they have a chance to get 50% of the profits here. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make fiscal sense.
Well, cost of attendance, too, Mark, is one thing that players can never legitimately itemize. I mean, we're talking almost six figures at some universities based on travel. You know, these ideal three meals a day players get. And I do see, too, from a player's perspective that they're seen as sort of employees, you know, unpaid employees. But let's face it, I mean, they're getting a free education. Most of them are, you know, if you're a starter or on the two deep, you're on scholarship. So to ask for, you know, part of the revenue pie during an unprecedented season where revenue is going to significantly drop, maybe not the best time to ask about that.
No, definitely not. I was looking at a tweet from you over the weekend. Ernest Jones, Zach Pickens, Jammie Robinson, South Carolina's most impactful defenders this season. You know, yeah. Brad, it's interesting. I was looking at one of those. Did you ever play? Were you a big NCAA football 2014 EA Sports? It's in the game.
Who wasn't, man? I won several NCAA football tournaments back in the Tebow, Percy Harvin days.
Oh, dude,
that was an unstoppable team.
I was number 6 in the world.
Dang, you played a lot, man.
I was number 6 in the world in the Marcus Vick, Ernest Wilford, Virginia Tech.
Okay.
Yeah, that was
my
team.
You play online,
man.
Sometimes, sounds like.
Dude, absolutely, man. Anyway, the ratings for that game, they're outsourced, right? And so an unbiased company makes the ratings for the patch for that game, so you can play NCAA 14, which is the last version of that game that was out. You can play that with all the updated rosters from this year. In any case, the top 10 players for South Carolina in terms of the ratings look very similar to the top 10 players from the University of Florida, Brad. And I don't think people realize that perhaps the Gamecocks don't have the depth of a Florida or of a Georgia, but the top of that roster, there is some star power on that team, and you're high on quite a few of these guys.
Yeah, and really the only position, in my opinion, of major weakness heading into the season is wide receiver, and that's no disrespect to Trey Smith and Shai Smith, but those two guys just haven't been healthy enough in their careers. I think if those two pass catchers are healthy this season, then you're talking about an above average group of receiver. But yeah, I kind of mentioned this week on Twitter that Jones, Pickens, and Robinson are three guys on defense that I think are going to be leaders. A lot of the responses to that tweet were, you know, how come I didn't pick J.C. Horn or Mukuamu, you know, two potential first-round picks. I just think those guys get enough spotlight. And Jamie Robinson's a guy who last year as a freshman was, you know, he was an immediate star, an immediate guy that Will Muschamp could count on in clutch situations. So Pickens is a kid up front, though, former five-star, who I think will really emerge as a sophomore this season and probably be the team leader in sacks. He's been that good early, based on what I've been told.
Brad Crawford joining us here on the show today. Brad, look, I opened the show today by when you're in a funk, Brad, we see everything through a negative lens. And Gamecock fans have been in a funk for a little while now, right? The reality of the situation is I actually think Will Muschamp's doing a pretty fine job. When you consider all the defections off of his staff, when you consider all of the connections that he had to remake after he had assistant coaches jump ship, thinking that he's not long for that job, when you consider that, with the proverbial house burning, his recruiting class right now is sitting at number 38, 2 4-star commitments. Dabo Swinney is basically letting Will Muschamp have the state of South Carolina. With a strong finish, this could be a top 25 class in a year in which those assistants that he gave jobs to turned their back on him. I honestly think Will Muschamp is doing a pretty fine job between when the pandemic began and today.
I totally agree with you. And, you know, this really is going to boil down, Mark, to will South Carolina field an offense that is SEC caliber this fall? You look at since the Steve Spurrier era, basically, South Carolina has not had a above-average quarterback, you know, play a full season and have those kind of all-SEC-type numbers really since Connor Shaw and Dylan Thompson. We're talking about 2013 and 2014. They've needed a difference maker at that position, haven't had that during Will Muschamp's era, and I think the last two seasons the struggles on offense have been magnified because of that reason. So I think the addition of Colin Hill this year, you know, as a one-year grad transfer, obviously – he did not transfer from Colorado State to South Carolina to be QB2. I think you're going to see a interesting battle during fall camp here in a couple of days between him and Ryan Helensky. And, you know, whichever guy emerges from those two players, in my opinion, is going to be the barometer on whether or not this team gets to a bowl game. And I will say this, with a 10-game schedule, these teams will not have to win 6 games. These bowl organizers are going to have to fill these slots, and I think you're going to see 4 or 5 wins now being enough to make a bowl game.
four or five wins to make a bowl game. How many for Will Muschamp to keep his job? I posed this question over the weekend on Twitter, on a Twitter poll on our website, Brad, and about half the respondents said there's nothing Will Muschamp can do to lose his job this year. I'm surprised by that. You don't think there's a number of wins that he has to have this year?
You know what, Mark? Based on the coronavirus and the pandemic that we're in the middle of right now, and South Carolina's estimated revenue this fall, I mean, unless the Gamecocks go 1-9 and Will does something maybe off the field to lose his job and negate that buyout, I think Muschamp is safe. This has always been a 500 team in 2020. I think, barring injury, and I just think, Mark, that you're not going to see a rash of firings in the SEC or even nationwide this fall based on the finances, like we talked about all show. These schools just do not have the money right now to pay, $13 to $15 million buyouts here in December after a season that might not even be completed in full. So if anybody's happy about COVID right now, I think it's Will Muschamp and any other coach who, might be on that proverbial hot seat.
No doubt about it. All right, I'm looking at him in your background picture on Twitter, Brad. Tua Tagovailoa or Joe Burrow, who makes a better pro?
I'm gonna tell you this, man. I've invested in Tua and Joey Burrow rookie cards this month. I've been
nice.
Buying a lot of football cards.
Nice. What is your listen? I was looking at this, man. I was looking at this. You have a post, and you guys need to see this. It says "Fun Friday Night Planned."
Yeah, man.
You bought all those boxes of cards and opened them? Is that what happened?
I went to five different Walmarts, and my wife and I opened about 50 packs of cards Friday night. Yep.
Your wife likes that too?
Oh, yeah, she loves it. Yep.
Man, you got a good one, Brad. You got a good one. You don't need me telling you that, but you got a good one, man. You got a good one. What is your best, what is your favorite or most valuable piece of memorabilia?
Oh, man. I recently sold some Ace Sanders receiving gloves from the 2012 Georgia game, kind of a Gamecock relic that, people really like. But, I was a big Preston Wilson baseball fan back in the day. He's from Bamberg, South Carolina, not too far from where I grew up. So I've got a lot of cool Preston Wilson signed things.
That's awesome. I have, and I'm not trying to one-up you in any way, shape, or form, but I have – this was my graduation present from college. I have an 86-87 Jordan Fleer rookie card.
Oh, my.
And I got
it. Is it graded?
It's not graded, and let me tell you why, Brad. Let me tell you why. I'm scared to put that thing in the mail.
I agree with you, man.
I don't want – I've guessed that it would get between a 7 and an 8, Like, I wouldn't have bought it if it was crappy condition,
Right, right.
It's not perfect, but it's pretty good. I would say it's like a 7 or an 8, and from everything I've seen, it's worth $4,000 or $5,000.
You're gonna have to cash out one day, yeah.
Yeah, one day, man. So I didn't get I got so excited about your sports card hobby. I didn't get the answer to the question: better career, Joe Burrow or Tua? Who's a better pro?
If Tua stays healthy, I'm going Tua, but I'm a Tua Tagovailoa homer, man. He's a great dude. I'm a big fan of Tua.
Yeah, I am as well. I am as well. Always fun talking college football with you, bud. I hope we have real games to talk about sooner than later. Brad, thanks so much for making the time. Hope you and your family stay safe, all right? God bless.
Thanks, man. We'll talk soon.
All right. Brad Crawford, senior writer, 24/7 Sports, joining us right here on the show today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.